So if I'm going to be honest with you this morning, I'm going to say that Advent season, the season of Advent 2019, is not going to go down as my favorite or best Advent season in my life. And I'm not even totally sure why this is. I mean, usually I am all in for Christmas and this time of year and, you know, the decorating and the baking and my list of Christmas movies I have to watch and holiday parties and other things that happen. And I've still done all of those things this year, but at least to some extent, it has felt a little bit more like an obligation than it has a source of joy for me this year. And maybe part of the reason is because Thanksgiving was so late and it's felt like Christmas season has been more frantic and rushed to kind of cram everything that has to be done into a shorter period of time. I think it also could be that a lot of the people that I love and care about are having difficult seasons for various reasons, losing loved ones, illnesses, things like that. But all of this has caused me to really reflect this year and ask, why is it that we do all of these things around this time of year? I mean, there aren't many other times of year that I stay up until 10:30 on a Monday baking. And if you know me well, you would know there aren't many other times that I stay up till 10:30 period on any night of the week. But all of this extra stuff, all the extra activities and festivities coupled with kind of the pressure and expectations of the season, I think that often what that means is that the closer we get to Christmas, the more tired and anxious we become. And if that's where you are this morning and it just maybe you're not feeling it or you're tired or whatever, then know that you are not alone. And not only are you not alone here in this room today, but really you're not alone if we're going to date all the way back to the very first Christmas. Because I think even then there was a degree of anxiety and exhaustion. I mean, let's talk about Mary and Joseph for a minute. I mean, obviously there was lots of joy and excitement, but there were also a lot of other things happening with this news. I mean, Joseph in the beginning, before the angel appears to him, Joseph thinks that he has been betrayed. Betrayed by the person who's supposed to love him most. Because in this time and in this culture, engagement was almost like being married, except you weren't living together. There was a legally binding component of being engaged. And so when Joseph learns that Mary is expecting, there's really only one conclusion that he can come to, that she's been unfaithful. I imagine Joseph was devastated. And not only that, he faces a moral dilemma that we in 2019 don't face, because women in that time who were caught in adultery could be stoned to death. So even though Joseph was hurt and angry and betrayed, he also didn't want Mary to be killed. But in figuring out what to do, his own reputation is at stake. And so it made it a very tricky situation for him to navigate. And Mary, on the other hand, I mean, she has to be anxious too. Even if she is in full belief and confidence in what the angel has said about what God has promised, she also has to know what the punishment for adultery is and what people are going to assume. She had to have been anxious about how do I tell Joseph? And then in the waiting period, when he decides what he's going to do, how he responds to this news. And then even once they get past that, I mean, there had to have been other anxieties, you know, anxiety about childbirth. And in this time, not a lot of women wouldn't survive childbirth. Or simply anxiety about being a parent, which I think is common for most people. Just earlier this week, I was talking to someone who's expecting their first child, and she said, we know we can keep a baby alive, but we're not sure if we're going to be good parents. All of those things, plus just the stigma of the whole thing. You have to know that there are a lot of disapproving looks, shaming looks in Mary's future, and probably for Mary and Joseph, multiple situations where you walk in a room and you immediately know everybody's been talking about you. Holy Spirit, sure, okay. And even if they're confident in God's promises, you just have to imagine that at some point all of those things take a toll. And so I want to keep all these things in mind as we turn to our gospel lesson for today from the Gospel of Matthew. And where we're going to pick up, Joseph has learned that Mary's expecting, and he's already made the decision to just kind of divorce her quietly. And it's then that the angel appears, and we'll pick up in Matthew chapter 1. But just when he, Joseph, had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Emmanuel, God is with us. That's our title for today. And in this Advent sermon series, we've been talking about the different titles and names for Jesus to help us better understand who Jesus is. And so we talked about the royal titles, Messiah and Christ. And last week we talked about the title Savior. And today we're talking about Emmanuel. And as we've talked about these different names and titles, we've given you kind of the Greek and Hebrew origin. And so your fun fact of today is that the Greek word and the Hebrew word for Emmanuel are the same. That the Greek word Emmanuel comes from the Hebrew word Emmanuel, which comes from the Hebrew roots of El, which means God, and M, which means with. And this word Emmanuel appears in Hebrew in the prophet Isaiah as he foretells what to come. And so the Greek word Emmanuel is just that translation. And the only time the Greek word Emmanuel appears in the New Testament is in our passage for today in Matthew 1:23. And yet, even though this word only appears once, it is central to our understanding of who Jesus is. Because really, Emmanuel, God with us, that is what Christmas is all about. That God loved us too much to leave us in our sin and brokenness. And so God sent Jesus, God with us, to live among us. And God comes in the middle of a mess. I mean, simply for the nation of Israel, they're under Roman occupation. It is not a happy time for Israel, the people, the nation. And then God comes to parents who are anxious and afraid, who in the beginning, Joseph thinks he's been betrayed. Parents who probably only had a very small group of people in their life who even believed any of this was true. And in case that isn't enough, when Mary was, say, 38 weeks pregnant or so, they have to make the multi-day journey to Bethlehem where she travels on a donkey. Now, that had to have been miserable. Probably the worst road trip ever. And then you can almost hear it when they finally arrive. What do you mean you didn't book a room? What do you mean there's no space at your uncle's house? And so they end up in a barn, or more likely a cave, where the animals would have slept, and that's where Mary gives birth. Now, obviously, I wasn't there, and I am not all-knowing like God, but surely I am confident that there had to have been an easier way for God to come and be with us. I mean, I understand that it was important that Jesus come from the line of David, but surely there was somebody from the line of David who was already living in Bethlehem and wouldn't have to travel 38 weeks pregnant. There was probably somebody who wasn't the poorest of poor, maybe with a little more wealth, that would have made it more believable that this was the birth of a king. There was probably a way to do this with a little bit less scandal. But we talked about this passage a few weeks ago in our staff meeting. Somebody said that in God choosing the most difficult way possible to come and be among us demonstrates the totality, the completeness of God's presence with us in whatever circumstances, no matter what. It's like in picking this incredibly difficult way to come and be with us, God is crying out, I am really with you. I have come to be with you exactly where you are, not when you achieve the things you want to achieve, not when you become the person you hope to become, not when you've read a certain portion of the scriptures or spent a certain amount of time in prayer. I am with you right here, right now, just as you are. I started thinking about that and the ways I need this reminder of Emmanuel, God with us, really in my daily life, and just thinking about the things that I have done or has happened to me this past week. Earlier this week, I brought a meal to friends who just had a baby, and it's a rainbow baby. And as I held that little girl, I thought about all of the grief and the joy that this family has carried over the last couple of years in losing pregnancies and now having this girl that they have longed for so long. And as I held her, I thought, Emmanuel, God is with us. Or later this week, I preached a memorial service for a woman who died too soon. And I laughed and cried with that family. And as I stood in this space, I talked about how even in our grief, we have hope because Emmanuel, God is with us. And God was with this woman in her suffering, and she is still with God now. Emmanuel. Or as I've done the more fun things this week, attended Christmas parties and finished wrapping gifts for loved ones and did a variety of baking. In the joys of the season, I remembered that Emmanuel, God, is with us. Or as I sent a care package that included a prayer square from our prayer shawl team and a note to one of my friends who lost her mom very suddenly this fall, and it's her first Christmas without her. As I wrote a note of encouragement, as I prayed over the things in that package, I thought, Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with you. Emmanuel, God with us means that we are never alone. And yet Christmas is one of the loneliest times of the year. Do you know that in December there are more divorces than any other time of the year? There are more suicides in December than any other time of the year? And I wonder if it's because of all of this kind of forced merriment causes people to realize their own unhappiness. And people just become exhausted from pretending that we're okay when the whole reason Jesus came to be with us is because we're not okay. God isn't afraid of our brokenness. God isn't afraid of our mess. In fact, God came to be with us in the middle of our mess, in the middle of scandal and oppression and anxiety and poverty, in the most difficult way possible. God came to be with us, proving that God is with us through it all. And so whether this is gearing up to be the most joyful Christmas you've ever had, or whether you're dreading every minute of it, or you find yourself somewhere in between, Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us is here. God is with you. The Holy Spirit is with us. God's not going anywhere. Let us pray. Almighty God, our words are insufficient to describe our gratitude that you are here with us. God, that you loved us too much to leave us in our sin and brokenness, and so you came down in the middle of the messiness of our lives to be with us. God, and we are never alone. God, I pray wherever we find ourselves this morning, and not just today, but in each and every day of our lives, in our moments of greatest joy and in our times of deepest darkness, remind us that you are always with us. Sustain us with your presence and continue to fill us with that hope that you are here and you're not going anywhere. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand?